You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, thy word. So here we are, Spirit of God. Thank you very much. Father, it's your time. Your time for our time. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in the upper room. We're hours, literally, away from his crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been driving home to their heart and head that which they need to understand in the light of his soon departure, his crucifixion. And he's giving it to them straightway. He's taking these 11 and giving them what they need to understand. Do they understand it as he's giving it? No. But the Spirit of God will bring it to their mind and they will remember. But at least they are exposed to God's wonderful, wonderful encouragement in the time of great discouragement, in the light of the cross, and as far as they're concerned, the end of everything in their life. It's all over. They may be imprisoned, they may be killed. Now, having said that little bit, we share together that the disciples have been exposed to an unbelievable relationship. The vine and the branch, chapter 15, etc. A unique, awesome, as we looked at all of those truths in word after word that God had given, has given. And it's an awesome thing, a relationship, vine and the branch. And, did they get that? Oh, no. You can say it, vine and branch. But to put that to reality doesn't work. So then we're going to go and add to that. He then told them of the hostility and hatred of the world that would be to them. And that wasn't an encouraging thought to them. Hostility and hatred, as it was to him, so to them. And then to add to that, the Jewish people, their families, their town where they were, city, little village where they were raised, the people, the nation, the Pharisees, Sadducees, etc. They're guilty, guilty. They've been exposed for 3 1/3 years, and they have rejected him. That's their own friends, family, people they know, their nation has rejected him. They're with him, but he's been rejected, going to be crucified. And then we're going to add to that, that they are assured they're going to have all of this happen in the world, and they are going to face it in a most awesome way. And that was chapter 15. Then God adds, just to help them understand, God adds chapter 16, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we looked at that. And God adds the absolute understanding of that the type of world they're going to face, the hostility and hatred, is going to even kill them. And we shared together that all 12, plus Paul, plus Barnabas, were all, as far as history goes, has given us, that they were all horribly killed, terribly killed, not nicely, terribly killed. So they're facing that, and that's overwhelming to them. They're just overwhelmed with all of that, and such, and they hear, but they can't understand, they can't absorb, the setting is very tight, troublesome and tiring, and they're going to go, it's night, and the night hasn't even finished, has just started. Now, having said that little bit, so therefore they are counting. They're counting, and God has introduced to them, as we shared, verses 1 through 4 in chapter 16, and we share together in the light of all of that. He tells them, I'm not going to add any more. I could tell you of all that's going to happen, which he didn't. He gave them just a little taste of what was ahead, just enough to get them to be thinking on the right page. But no more, no more. No more how it was going to go next week, how it's going to go next year. No, he didn't give them all that. He didn't do that. No, nope. And he doesn't do that for us. And we shared together in chapter 15 and in verse 25 and in verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify, bear witness of me, and ye also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And God makes it very, very clear. Now he's going to say it again to them all, but he makes it very clear that he knows they don't, they haven't absorbed it. It's overwhelming to them, but he lets it be known that God, you can count on God for all of it to take place in God's grace and mercy. And that's what you need to be assured of. The Spirit of God is going to make it for real. You guys may not get it. The world's going to do what it's going to do. But be of good cheer. God is going to back it up and make it real. Whether you believe it, understand it, like it, or whatever, God is going to make it happen. Hang on to that. Now, go with me a little further. So as we come to in chapter 16, and we share together verse 5 and 6, that they were overwhelmed. They didn't ask where he was going. They couldn't understand where he was going. To the Father, all they saw is doom and gloom. That's all they saw. So therefore, we share together in verse 6, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled, sorrow, grief, anguish. All such word is, tell us the word sorrow, anguish, grief. Hath filled your heart. And we share together that if your, and we did it last time, if your hands are full, if both hands are full, carrying 20 hymn books, I think we said, you can't bend down and pick up a piece of paper because your hands are full. Your hands are full. And when your hands are full, there's no you're out of business to do something else. When your heart is full, when your heart is full with worry and thought and anguish and all the different things running through your mind that make you go up and down, depressed and impressed and everything else. When all that happens, you're so full that you can't bring any thoughts in because your heart's so full. Your hands are so full and you can't do it. And that's what they were. That's how we live. Now, God, you got wonderful, wonderful news and things and truth, but when our hearts are full and we're overwhelmed, well, then you can't change. You don't have any benefit. The good news isn't good because you can't see it, you can't understand it. And we shared it together to illustrate. You don't want to go, using some illustration again, if I fill my hands with all that I think and feel and fear and I'm frustrated with, if I pull my hands now, get my hands full, I can't absorb any kind of comfort, encouragement. I can't do it. It isn't that it isn't there. It's out there, but I can't get it. My hands are full. When my heart's full, I can't get it. And we share together. You need to make sure your old nature that you have in your head and heart is going to think like it does and work like it does. And it's gonna stink, if that's all right. And that's what your old nature does. Now that isn't going away. Your fears, your depression, all the things that you react and we respond to, that doesn't stop. But when I let it fill my hands and heart, then I have no room for anything. So we share together. Make sure that no matter, you can't change your old nature, it's not going to stop, and you learn how to handle it in God's grace and mercy. And you never let go of God. You may fill your hands, but never this hand. Never lets go. Your heart may be all over the place, but you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, so He's always there. You never lose Him. That's where you're going to be able to survive and succeed. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, their sorrow has filled their heart. So God, and they just aren't with it. In fact, we shared it. In just a matter of a handful of hours, they're all going to forsake Him. He's going to be all alone. They aren't going to be able to hang in there. It's overwhelming. Now, God, you got to help them, because that's what's happening to their heart and heads. Now, therefore we go in the light of verse 7. Nevertheless, that you do, your heart is full. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is expedient. Now, you guys feel like you do. You don't understand what I'm saying to you. You aren't believing what I'm saying to you. You aren't understanding it. You're missing it. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what you need to know anyway. No matter how you want to do with the information, what you want to do with the information, throw it in the garbage can. I'm telling you what's going to be. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's just going to be. So be of good cheer. It isn't going to stop. And the Spirit of God's ministry, God is going to fulfill in His wonderful. I'm going to go to the cross and make it absolutely necessary for God to put all the pieces together properly. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. I tell you the truth. I want you to know it. Now, hang on, if you would, in the light of that. It is expedient, the verb, it is expedient, present, expedient. It is to your advantage. It is to bring things together, is the word, to put the pieces together, to make it profitable, to give the advantage, to have the ingredients. It's necessary, expedient, to make it all happen. Therefore, in the light of the expediency and the present tense, it is expedient, it is absolutely necessary for me to tell you that I'm going to go away. I tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Hang on. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's going to happen. And before I jump too quickly then, I'm going to tell you the truth. So you got to get that. Got to lock that in the light of the title. Or if you would, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, and remember what we said. What we said, if we can, in the light of that, verse 26 of chapter 15, what did God just tell them? God just told them. Chapter 15, verse 26. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now God is truth. The word truth is reality. And remember, if we had, this isn't a pencil, but I had one. If this was a pencil, here's the lead out in the end of it, remember. And the lead, if we take and keep sharpening, if this was a pencil, and you kept sharpening it, you're going to keep finding the same lead. All the way down, you're going to find the lead. Reality. That's the word truth. It's the same all the way through. It's real. It's really real. It's the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. And the Spirit of God is the truth. So you don't have to even guess. Is it real? Absolutely. What I'm telling you, are you going to be able to enjoy the huge benefits of abiding in the vine and the branch, being able to ask whatsoever you will in my name, and I'm going to do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. My joy, my peace, my love, my friendship, it's all going to be real. That's why the world doesn't understand. How could you have all of this for real? Because the Spirit of God makes it real. And I'm going to die on the cross to guarantee it and make it for real. Now hang on. In the light of that. So here we are looking. It's expedient that I go away. Over to Romans, I start to say. Over to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8, if I may pick up a thought. And in Romans chapter 8, may I go to that which we did, and remember, here's our Lord, and chapter 8, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 30, 8 and 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, the word continue to abide, to dwell, if you continue to abide in my word, vine of the branch, then are you my disciples indeed, for real, true, truly, truly. Verse 32. And when you abide, vine and the branch, what are you going to know? You shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. John 8, 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. Liberty, the word free. Liberty. Wonderful, wonderful liberty, truth, freedom. Freedom to enter into reality, enter into enjoy with understanding the realities that are very real. But you need truth. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He's the God of truth, and he's going to give you the truth of God. That's what it is. It's a person. You can count on it. You can count on the reality of it. When you look at yourself, you're never, 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 never going to know it. But when you go and look to God, all of a sudden, it's nothing to it. God can do it without even, it's his norm. It's his normal way. So therefore, over to John, and go to verse 45 in the same chapter in the light of all the context, they didn't believe. So when I come down to verse 45 in chapter 8, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, I'm telling you the truth. The Spirit of truth is going to make it all real. You don't want to believe the truth. Who's telling me the truth? My Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've seen me, you've what? We read it in John 14. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you understand? The God of truth is giving you the truth of God. And what more do you want? It's real. It's real. You're going to die in everything. Do you know before you ever existed on planet Earth, there's Adam and Eve and Lucifer, son of the morning, before that. And you know what? It's all real. I'm real, said God. Do you understand it? I'm the truth. I'm the truth. So what I'm telling you is real. You don't see it because you've got all this stuff going on in your head and heart. But it's real. It's real. And you can use a silly illustration, maybe. You say, I don't believe the sun. I don't believe the sun. I don't believe the sun's going to shine anymore. And guess what? It's going to shine. When does the sun stop shining? Done. We'll stop, but the sun doesn't stop. It's real. And all the realities are there. And we're real. You're real. And I need to enter in, but I can't do it. I can't do it if my heart's full and I leave you out, God. So therefore, God, if I leave you out, how am I going to see the truth? How am I going to know the truth? I'm not. I need you to be involved. God, what are you saying to your 11 disciples in the upper room? You need to understand, nothing's going to happen without me, but I'm going to make it all happen for real. It's all going to be wonderfully, wonderfully for real. It's all going to take place. Now, and therefore, verse 45, I tell you the truth and you don't believe me. Over to John, and you read it, and do it again though, John chapter 14. In answer to Thomas, and he says it rather directly, and as you know, as we did all that section, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one's going to get there except by me. That's the only way. You can't do it. You understand? I'm the truth. If you leave me out, you can't know the truth. You can't have the truth. Better, you can't have the truth. I am the truth. If you leave me out, you don't have it. And I make possible the reality of it by God the Holy Spirit. He's going to make it. He is the truth. I'm going to give him to you. Look at chapter 14. You're right here, if you're still right there, even if I can, in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's the Spirit of truth. Are you going to say that every time? I am. I'm going to keep telling you. He's the Comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. Really? Uh-huh. That's what I want you to know. Hold your finger in John, coming right back, over to Romans and chapter 8. In the light of a wonderful, wonderful section. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought. Remember now, Paul is going through the exercise. God sends him out up there by himself to be exercised and discover about his person. So he doesn't trust his person. And God put him out there like Jesus in the wilderness. God put Paul out there. Out there in the woods, to what? To learn. Now, what did he learn? Chapter 7 and verse 18, 7 and 18. For I know that in me dwelleth, that in me, in my flesh, body, dwelleth no good thing. Remember the right hand, left hand with your old nature. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I would like to do better. I'd like to do right things, but I don't. I don't. I can't do them. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There's no way. There's no way I'm going to see. How am I going to have the realities? How am I going to have any of it? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, my old nature, the law of sin. Now, right on, stay right on it. Verse 8. Chapter 8, I should say, sliding down, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit, remember what you read up in verse 25. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And the truth will make you free. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the God of truth, the truth of God. He will make you free. That's chapter 8, verse 2. How is any of it going to be over, oh, wretched man that I am? It's impossible. Except with God, the impossible is quite possible. Remember our studies in the evening. Now, back over to John chapter 16. And you're going to recall, in the light of all of it, that in John chapter 16, he is the Spirit of truth and the wonderful truth of God, as we shared. Chapter 15 and chapter 14, they're going to say the same thing as we've shared. And the Spirit of God is going to go and bring all things to your remembrance about everything that you need to know. He's going to strengthen your heart. He's going to comfort you. That's what he's going to do. He is the comforter, someone who comes alongside to aid, to assist, to encourage, to support. That's what he's going to do. You guys aren't going to make it, but God, the Holy Spirit, is going to help you, so you can make it. That's what he's going to do. By the way, God's wonderful person is a wonderful thing, and this God, the Holy Spirit, has God's assignment to himself is to take care. So in Genesis, you don't have to turn there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and the Spirit of God is going to do what? He's going to take brood. He's going to hover over like a mother bird bending down. He's going to take and look at the earth and the water and the nothingness. He takes the canvas, if you would, the canvas that God's going to paint on. And he takes the canvas and he does a wonderful thing in making it planet Earth in the light of all the heavens, in the light of all the animals, in the light of humans. He's going to do that. He does that. And we take the same word and slide into the New Testament and Luke chapter 1, etc. And what are you going to do, God? I'm going to go. And the Spirit of God is going to go to that Virgin Mary, that girl. He's going to take that girl and he's going to brood and hover in her. And she will conceive by his wonderful work. And out of her little, she'll provide the perfect human. God will provide the perfect God. And come together, the God-man, one person, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Who did that? The Spirit of God did. The Spirit of God did it. An awesome God. Uh-huh. What do you keep saying, God, in the upper room? I'm going to tell you, you guys are out in space, but I'm going to come and help you so that you understand each time. What I'm telling you is not a waste of words or thoughts. What I'm telling you is for real. I don't waste words. I don't make up stories for nothing. What I'm trying to tell you is wonderful. And therefore, in chapter 16 and in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. I need to go to the Father. I need to be crucified, resurrected, and go to the Father. Unless that happens, nothing's going to happen. If God doesn't die and rise again and go to the right hand of the Father in his perfect humanity, we got nothing. No one has anything. I have to go. I've been trying to tell you guys that. We shared that in chapter 14 when you read it. In my Father's house are many abiding places. I'm going. I want you to be where I am. I want you to come home. That's what I'm looking for. I want you to be there. It's a wonderful thing I've done. But you guys can't get it. No, you don't get it. So therefore, it's expedient, profitable, absolutely to your advantage that I go away. For if... Third class, and I may or may not. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I don't go away and be crucified and risen, do you understand? You will never know the wonderful ministry of God's almighty grace in the person of God the Holy Spirit. You'll never know. You'll never know it. Unless I go away. If I don't go away, if I don't go on the cross, you guys are in great trouble. You're dead in trespasses and sin. I have to go to the cross. Now, let me finish the verse. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if, and I may, third class, I may or may not, if I depart, which I will send him unto you. I'm going to send him to you. I'll send him to you. Over chapter 14. In chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in verse 16. 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. There's your same word we're looking at. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, verse 17. He's going to give you another, the little word another is of the same kind. I'm the comforter. I'm going to die on a cross. He's a comforter. He's like me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God. Do you understand? I'm not going away. Look with me, sliding down, jumping ahead. Sliding down. Oh, if I can, to verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave, verse 18, chapter 14, verse 18. What did you got to encourage them, God. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. I will come to you. I won't leave you orphans without a father. No life. You have no hope, no help. Fatherless, abandoned, orphans. In the middle of nowhere. I don't do that. Don't you understand? You can't enjoy the marvelous life that you've observed for 3 1/3 years in the wonderful, perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. You can't have any of this unless I go to the cross and die, and then I, in my wonderful deity, are going to come into you and bring you that life that you do not have. I'm going to bring it to your heart in all of its fullness. I'm not going to leave you out of it. I'm trying to bring you into it. You see? Wow. Now, over to Romans. Better, 2 Corinthians. That's like Romans. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 1. The comfort, 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 comfort. To be fatherless, child, without father. Wow. What, God, what'd you do? You brought us to your father. That's what it's all about. Wow. Now, having said that, and in the process, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, may I pick up so you see it. It's all over the place. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's the comforter. That's right. Now, how are you going to, you can't, if I don't go to the cross, you aren't going to be comforted. You aren't going to be encouraged. There's no hope for you. I have to go. But you understand? God the Father is able to bring you the comfort that I am bringing you, God the Son, and bringing you by way of my death on the cross. The Spirit of God's going to bring you by way of his wonderful life to bring all the benefits that Christ has made possible by his death, burial, and resurrection, to bring all those benefits home to your heart. Wow. Wow. And therefore, he's the God of all comfort. And therefore be encouraged. So when you go, think of verse 4, picking it up. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And God, you let God do a wonderful work in your heart, and other people have the mumps or the green plague or something, and whatever they got, but you got it. But boy, you got a whole different approach because your heart's right and it isn't an issue about the green plague. It isn't an issue about that. It's about your relationship to God that outworks all the things that he has in mind. And the green plague is just a thing, something that is there for the moment in the outworking of God's wonderful grace and mercy and kindness. And therefore, the God of all comfort. And that's the Spirit of God has to comfort you. And you're going to have a terrible time. But I'm going to comfort you, encourage your heart, so that other people that go through things, and they're going to see your life. They're going to see that somehow you handled the green plague differently. Somehow you came out of it. I didn't come out of it. I'm down in the dumps. But you aren't down in the dumps. No. No. And you're able to thank God in the dump or out of the dump. What difference does it make? You're thanking God because the issue isn't the dump. It's God in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's about. And you're looking to that. And you work through everything. The God of all comfort. Wow. Now, over with me another place. You see it? That's what God's going to do. The Spirit of God. It isn't going to happen to them. They have to understand. They said it can't happen. God said, you are dead wrong. I'm going to make it happen. And all you've got to do is yield to me and trust me, and I'm going to make it happen. Not you're going to make it happen, and not you're going to be merited, you merit it, or you work at it, or you're going to be too so good, I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it because of my grace and my mercy in the person. I'm going to the cross and pay an awesome price to do this for you. And you couldn't buy it, you couldn't purchase it, you couldn't even understand it. So when I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it because of me, said God. That's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because of who I am. I'm the God of truth. And I tell the truth of God. And I want the reality to be yours. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, remember now, here we have it, our Lord Jesus comes right along, right next to the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the word, comfort, comforter, advocate. Someone to come to the aid, to the success. There's an English word that we don't use in our country so much, a banister. Barrister is the, in court, they represent you. And in court they go, and the barrister goes and presides. He's your attorney, he defends you, he administers everything, he works it out with the court. He does it all. First John chapter 2, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is your comforter. Don't have to turn back. We just read John chapter 14, verse 16, 17. And I am going to give you another comforter. Jesus said, I am the comforter. I'm going to give you another one, the Spirit of God. He's the comforter. He comforts the same as I do. And to boot, God the Father, 2 Corinthians, God the Father is the comforter who sends the Son, the comforter, who sends the Spirit of God, the comforter, to help you to be encouraged and stimulated. I wonder if God loves us. I don't know that God cares. He don't care about anything, right? God's out there. Who knows what's going on in the Sinai Desert or something, you know? No. Is that how you think? It's the complete opposite, isn't it? God is the complete opposite. But we think that. God doesn't care. God doesn't know. God doesn't understand. Oh boy, are we wrong. Are we wrong? Therefore, sliding down, verse 2. And he, our advocate, our defense attorney, that's what the Lord is doing for us, our defense attorney. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He propitiates, he satisfies. He died on the cross. For what? For the sin of the world. That's why when everyone is born, as we mentioned Sunday school, when you're all born, you're all dead in sins, like all of us, and that you need life. And God has good news. No matter who you are, when you are, God died for you before you were ever born. God paid the price. That's why you could be born. Otherwise, God wouldn't let you be born if you didn't have a Savior. You would never be here on earth if God didn't have a plan for your life. It just wouldn't happen. Can't happen. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, if you would, keeping that in mind, he's the advocate, a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, God, what are we going to do in a minute? Over, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 9, picking up, please, in thought. God's wonderful, wonderful person. God does what he does because he's God. Hebrews in chapter 9, picking up, please, in thought. And the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Spirit of God, all are comforting, all are there to be everything we need. Chapter 9, book of Hebrews, picking up in thought, if I can, going directly to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Therefore, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God, what are we doing? What is our assurance? You are the comforter. You are the advocate. And the devil and the Satan / accuser of the brethren, etc., etc., etc. Oh. Now God, and we look at our own life, and other people look at your life and say, how can he be saved? Did you ever hear that? I hope they don't say that. How could that guy be saved? How could that girl be saved? They really aren't saved. Being saved, we aren't talking about church membership. Churches. Anyone can go to church. It isn't an issue. Church isn't an issue. It's being saved. Being truly born again. Having God in your heart. Wow. No, that can't be, but it is. Now, God, how is that going to be? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, seated at the right hand of Almighty God in all of his awesomeness, is there, and his nail-pierced hands and feet and side. And there you are with him. He's an advocate. And all the charges that could be leveled, Romans, do it. Romans 8. In closing, appreciate your patience. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, if I can. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies and declares righteous. Who is he that condemneth, judges us? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Yep. He's the advocate. And all the accusations of anyone anywhere, Christ in you, and you in Christ, locked on. God said, listen, if you don't mind, said the Lord, the Son of God, to God the Father, I died for him. He's mine. He's bought with a price. The Spirit of God has made it absolutely essential and real, and it shall be. Wow. I got to quit. To deal with you a little bit. Our Father in God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help us. God, we don't want to be a sorrow filling our heart. We don't want to go and, like in Ephesians and that, grieve and bring grief to the Spirit of God because we don't believe. God, I don't want to cause pain, sorrow to you. I don't want to do that, God, with my thoughts and my unbelief and my indifference. God, help me. Thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses me from all sin. God, thank you very much for your forgiveness. Always your forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.